Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 30 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I am joined by a very special guest, former Milwaukee Brewers and LA Dodgers pitcher, Mr. Jimmy Nelson. How are we today?
Good. How about you? Thank you.
I'm doing great. You know, it's my first podcast back in a couple weeks since the Pinstripe Pride event, which I attended, and it was a blast. But I'm so excited to get back in the podcast loop, and with a person like yourself, this can be a good episode, I think.
Nice. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, of course, you spent most of your career in Milwaukee, which is commonly regarded as one of the smaller market teams in the league, and then later moved to LA, which is easily one of the biggest markets in the league. My first question is, were there any differences between the two teams on or off the field, and how did that impact your experience as a player?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, city-wise, polar opposites. Both great organizations. I had great experiences in both places, being drafted and coming up in the Brewer system. Obviously, that means a lot to me, having come through that system and then spending some significant years there. I enjoyed the small city feel, very great fan base and everything. And then obviously you go to LA, bigger market, more resources and tools at your disposal to improve as a player. Obviously, much bigger city, something that you have to adjust to and learn how to deal with, but definitely great experiences at both places.
Yeah, was there an added sense of pressure in LA with that bigger market, bigger fan base, stuff like that?
No, not really. I mean, they did a really good job there of making you feel comfortable when you come in. You know, as far as the coaching staff, the medical strength staff, all around, they do a good job. And then fans are great there too. So, you know, really supportive. And we've had a lot of success. So fortunately, you know, they weren't getting onto us too hard because we were having success, but it didn't feel like there was necessarily any added pressure. If anything, it almost feels like, you know, the pressure was off you a little bit because there's so many great players around you that you don't feel like you have to do as much. And, you know, there's, the whole team's like a team of all-stars and Hall of Famers and just huge name guys. So it kind of actually takes pressure, I think, off a lot of guys.
Exactly. Speaking of those incredible guys like Mookie Betts and Justin Turner, just to name a few on the offensive side, but I want to highlight one guy you played with on that team. And that is, of course, one of the greatest pitchers of all time in Mr. Clayton Kershaw. Was there anything specific that he taught you or any moments from your tenure in LA that really stuck with you?
Well, with Kershaw, he was starting and I was in the pen, so we weren't, you know, like in the dugout together a ton, but just being able to watch Kersh and how he went along his business on a daily basis, very routine oriented guy, hard worker. And, you know, he just knew himself really, really well. He knew exactly what he needed to do to get ready. He knew his process and he stuck to it. And it's, you know, pretty clear why he's been successful for so long.
Yeah, I mean, he is, you know, one of the greatest to ever do it, both statistically and based on, you know, what the teammates say. People all the time rave about how talented he is and what he brings to the table for that LA squad. But throughout your time in Milwaukee and LA, was there a single teammate who had a big impact on you personally or as an athlete?
I mean, there was a lot of guys, you know. I mean, there's a lot of really good teammates I had along the way. I know in particular in Milwaukee, one guy I clicked with, we were both kind of rehabbing the same time. And then he was also my catcher in 2017 with Steven Vogt, who's managing with the Guardians, having a lot of success there. And I'm really happy for him. Great teammate. You won't hear anybody say anything bad about the guy. And so he had a good impact on me. But then there was also a good group of veteran pitchers, starting pitchers, Kyle Loesch, Matt Garza, some, you know, Yovani Gallardo. The handful of guys that were there that kind of helped mentor me as I came up as a younger player. And so I have a lot of gratitude towards those guys for sure.
Yeah, I still have a lot of memories from that Brewers staff when you were there, especially that 2017 staff with, you know, yourself, Chase Anderson and Matt Garza and all those guys. Do you think that was the best staff you pitched on in Milwaukee, that 2017 team?
Yeah, I think, you know, when Hader started coming up and really making a name for himself, Corbin Burns, he came up originally and struggled a bit, but man, obviously he figured it out and he's an elite level pitcher as well. And then you have Woodruff. So I actually think those guys coming up behind us were better. But myself, Zach Davies, and
Yeah.
Shea all having really good years at the same time. So we were very fortunate. Obviously, none of us huge name guys, but Derek Johnson, Lee Tunnell, all the pitching guys there did a great job with us, and they really were able to get the most out of us.
That bullpen was great too. That was prime Corey Knebel and Hader was still on the come up with you guys.
No, a lot of good arms there. I think we were very underrated, and it was nice to be a part of kind of that group of guys that helped bring winning baseball back to Milwaukee.
Love it. So this is more about you're changing in an off season. So you had a relatively rough 2016 season, but then you made a huge jump in 2017, finishing top 10 in Cy Young voting with a sub-3.5 ERA. Was there anything you changed that off season in your mechanics, mindset, or approach that helped you turn it around?
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of those adjustments started in 2016, actually. I was having obviously an awful year. And about halfway through the season, there was some major things mechanically in my delivery that I changed middle of the year. And not a lot of guys do that. You kind of wait till the off season usually to make those adjustments. But I was at a point, I had a rough 2014 and a rough 2016. 2015 was pretty decent. But 2014 and 2016 were really bad, and I knew that something had to change. I couldn't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. So about halfway through the season, 2016, yeah, there was some big mechanical changes I made in the windup. Completely changed kind of like how my windup delivery, and that still like took I still was pretty rough for the rest of the season, but I knew I was on the right path mechanically. And I was fortunate to have Derek Johnson, DJ, stand by me in those decisions and kind of back me in that. And so then I carried that mechanical work into the off season. And I felt like there was a little bit of chatter, a little bit of talk, and I kind of felt like it was my last opportunity going into 2017. I kind of felt like it was my last chance to prove myself. I had been given a handful of opportunities as a starting pitcher in Milwaukee, and was very fortunate to keep getting opportunities. Not a lot of guys keep getting that many opportunities, and so I felt like it was kind of my last shot to prove something and to really be something there. And so I came into spring training, obviously having more reps with the mechanical changes I made, but then also just kind of with a more aggressive mindset, more narrowed focus on what I was doing, kind of using maybe outside noise or thoughts to kind of motivate and motivate myself and really just be more of an aggressor on the mound. And it turned out well.
Yeah, that 2017 season really was electric, and you were one of the main pieces holding down that 2017 Brewers squad. And overall, since you were a major league pitcher, I have a really important question as someone who pitched up until high school and recently had to retire due to sucking. The amount of mental toughness that goes into pitching is ridiculous in high school, never mind in the majors. How did you deal with adversity, especially on days where things weren't your going your way and through injury?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly tough, especially like you said on the injury side, when you're missing years of your career with injuries and dealing with pain and all that kind of stuff, it can be very difficult. I think until 2014 and 2016, I was having to learn how to deal with failure on the performance side, and that was really tough for me, kind of a perfectionist and high expectations for myself, and almost maybe setting the bar unreachably high. So having to learn how to set realistic expectations, but also, try to flush those negative thoughts out as fast as possible, which can be, tough in baseball, especially you're playing every day. You got to try to get rid of those thoughts quickly. And then, like you said, on the injury side is really tough too. There's a lot of times when you don't feel like you're getting better. You just feel like you're kind of stuck, or you're plateaued, or maybe even feel like you're going backwards. But it's such a long process. It's a year to 2 year process every time you have a major injury surgery. So you just got to really focus, not looking too far ahead or looking too far behind. Just kind of stay where your feet are, stay present, and try to put your work in every day and try to stack as many good days as possible.
Yeah, that makes total sense because when you think too much about what you're going to do in the future or what you did in the past, it really prevents you from doing your best in the current moment. And that sure seemed like something that, would really help a pitcher just to stay focused and lock in on what they need to try to do.
Yeah, for sure.
So, besides the mental aspect, what's something about pitching at the MLB level that fans or, younger players might not fully understand up at the MLB level?
I think just like how much physical strength and conditioning and it takes, like I think every we talk about the mental side a lot and everybody understands that there's a huge mental component, but I mean, to get through, you talk, if you count playoffs and you count all the spring training games and then all the games during the season, I mean, you're talking almost 200 games a year. So I think the physical component, the season is so incredibly long. It's almost like it feels like two separate seasons in one season. You can be a guy that starts out bad and then ends up good. And it's like you don't even remember what you did 5, 6 months ago. So just the length of the season is really hard for people that, outside of the game to grasp because it's, I mean, it's like an 8 month season basically, So it's just like the physical stamina and conditioning you have to have as well as the mental side of it is pretty high.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed is the huge increase from the amount of games you play in college to the amount of games you play in MLB, logically, because you only have so long in a school year. But that could definitely be a jump that some athletes would struggle to really reach when you head through the minors and then into the majors, jumping from probably around how many games do they play in college? Probably around 50 something.
And then sometimes those guys go play summer ball too. So if you can get
Yeah.
another 30 to 40 games or whatever they play in summer ball too, but you get a lot more off days in college. It's not even like the number of games, it's the off days that you get. You just don't get as many off days in the big leagues. I mean, there's much more, they've worked in more off days now than they have in the past. Same thing in the minor leagues. They've really done a lot of positive things in the schedule in the minor leagues with off days and travel and stuff. But it's just, five, six games a week probably is just a lot different than college where you have 5 games of like those, that extra day off a week is pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, also the difference between being a position player and a pitcher on a team in the majors also seems much more much different than it would be in college. Because in college, the off days are so much more frequent that the pitchers get the rest, but so do the position players. Every day, the position players have to go at the major league level, and the pitchers usually get like a 3, 4 day rest between.
In college, it's like you're throwing once, twice a week tops, So you're on like a 7 day rotation in college if you're like a weekend starter. Whereas in pro ball, it's a 5 day rotation. So that extra 2 days is huge. And it takes time once you get into pro ball for your body and your mind to adjust to the routine. But there are some pros, you're in pro ball, you're not going to class, you're able to like spend the day focusing on whatever you got to do to get ready for your next outing. So it's like 100% of your focus is on your craft, whereas in college it's tough because that attention can be divided.
Exactly. One more thing for this. If you could go back and give one piece of advice to your rookie self to help with your career, what would it be?
Oh man. Well, I don't know because I don't even know if I would listen anyway, but probably to try to not stress as much and then really try to enjoy it more. I think that those times that I was so focused on performance and just being as good as I could possibly be that I didn't enjoy the moment as much as I could. And then, when all the injuries happened and it's been 7.5+ years of injuries and rehab that, that takes a lot of fun out of the game. So I think some of my time where I had good outings between, 15, 17, those years, and then even in 2021 with LA, just trying to enjoy it more because those moments go so fast,
Yeah, I have. I mean, like, just pitching is such a complicated art form in which nobody will ever do it perfectly. And it's just so complicated to be able to continue to pitch at such a high level for so long. And that's why it's so brutal to see, injuries be as frequent as they are in major league sports,
Yeah.
because athletes can be so talented and just injuries just can tear it all up. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean throwing a baseball is the most unnatural movement in all sports. So the body's going to take a lot of stress. There's a lot of moving parts that all have to time up very well. And if your timing is just off a little bit, that's putting a lot of stress on certain parts of the body. And then all of a sudden you do that hundreds and thousands of times over the course of 8 months and really a full year because we're training and throwing in the off season too. And so it just, yeah, it does take a big toll on the body. And that's why it's impressive. You see these guys that play 10 plus years here, and their health records are relatively clean, and these guys that have crazy innings, like you mentioned,
Exactly.
it's nuts, man. Like you talk about Kersh and Scherzer and Verlander. And I was fortunate enough to be with David Price in
Oh,
LA.
yeah.
Some of these guys, it's just nuts. Some of the innings that these guys throw, and to think of staying and you say healthy, but there's so many guys throw through things that's one thing actually I would probably say about people don't realize and outside of the game is how often guys actually are throwing with injuries and position players playing with injuries, and you just grind through it, you play through it. There's a lot of stuff that guys have going on physically that they play through the entire season. And a lot of that is like internalized and it's within the organization or it's within the athlete themselves. And it's just a part of the sport. But that's one thing I think that a lot of people on the outside might see somebody struggling performance-wise. And there could be like a deeper issue going on physically that's like kind of holding them back from being their best self. But they're just out there trying to compete and grind through it in the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such an honor, watching guys like yourself play and Kersh, and watching you guys play while I was growing up. It was really incredible.
Yeah, well, I don't need to be in the same statement as not even close to that,
Hey, that 2017 Brewers staff has like a special spot in my head. I swear,
but
all of you guys.
yeah, it was fun. I definitely wish I could have stayed healthy longer and didn't obviously slide into that bag at Wrigley Field. That really, shredded my shoulder really bad, and kind of was probably like a first major domino to fall in these string of injuries and surgeries I've had. But being able to watch those guys have success since then and make playoffs pretty consistently, I'm happy for that organization and for that city and for that fan base.
I also have one final question regarding that play, going to ask specifically, but in general, do you think that adding the DH to the National League was beneficial for pitchers?
Absolutely. I don't like obviously what happened to me running bases, but I mean, I was also dealing with a foot issue that year where I had like a plantar fasciitis that had ruptured on me.
Ooh.
I'd been throwing through that for a couple months. And so I always enjoyed like being in the dugout, having a little more time to relax, focus on the next inning instead of having to pay attention to when I'm hitting or on deck or third out being made when you're on the bases, and all of a sudden you got to like sprint in and get back out there. And even now, like with the pitch clock and the way the pitch clock is and the time in between innings, it would be tough to have pitchers hit anyway because there'll be all these violations of them.
Exactly, yeah.
Like it'd just be a circus. So I'm definitely glad, and you hope too as a player from the player side that it's creating maybe some more jobs for guys too, like some DH guys. So, you hope it helps the pitchers physically, and then you hope it also creates maybe some more jobs for guys and some more opportunities too.
Yeah, it's just the game developing, and we'll see where MLB continues to go. But I just want to say thank you so much for hopping on this episode. I really appreciate it. It was really great talking with you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Of course, everyone, that's going to be it here from episode 30 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, here with Jimmy Nelson, and we will see you next time. Have a great rest of your day.